You're listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century, the podcast from Unity San Francisco that explores modern spiritual teachings and provides insight into how to apply them in your life. This is Reverend Ken Daigle. Today's talk was recorded live at Unity San Francisco. Enjoy.
It is definitely a journey. It is not a destination. It is a journey of incremental steps to be fully authentic, to be fully present to who we have come here to be. The change agent, the unapologetic change agent. And when I was writing my book, we were looking at names. We had so many different names. We had AI helping us. We had names. We had teams of people trying to come up with names. And finally, the editor wrote me one day and said, unapologetic manifestation, 5 steps to create the life you want. And I was like, that's it. And then all the committees said no. And so I let that whole process play out forever. And I said, it's unapologetic manifestation. And the reason for it is because many of us in our society have been taught about manifestation that if you just think, you'll get it. If you just hold the positive thoughts, no matter what, the magic things will happen. But manifestation is not magical. It is not magical thinking. It is a deeply disciplined, conscious participation in life. It is not about taking one thought and just saying, okay, I am rich, I am wealthy, I am wealthy, I am wealthy. You can do that till you're blue in the face. But if you don't do the inner work of acknowledging your own worthiness, it's never going to work. I'm really running out, digging deep, and finding all those old voices that tell you, you're too much. Ooh, really? You're going to wear that? Really? At your age? Really? Right? And all the things that people think they have the right to tell you. How many of us have been mortified by what people will say to your face, right? It's like, wow, did I ask your opinion? Right? Did I want to comment about that? And, you know, it happened in ministerial school. They tried to tell me how to dress. It happened in grammar school. They tried to tell me how to dress. This is me. This is what I like to wear. This is who I am. I'm not, make no apologies. This is me. And it's not over, and it is certainly not about the clothes we wear. Once, when at ministerial school, I was helping someone else's service. We all had to do our chapel services, how we practiced being a minister. And I was assisting one of my classmates, and she asked me to be the platform assistant, and she asked me to wear a suit and tie. So I showed up on the platform for her service in a full suit and tie. It was a nice one. And one of my professors said, wow, you really clean up well. And I looked at him and said, it's all drag. The suit and tie is as much a drag as a dress is, right? It is all a costume we put on to fit in, to make a statement, to try and say who we are. And it changes with the day and what we want to accomplish. But it has nothing to do with who we truly are. A magnificent expression of the divine, a magnificent expression of life itself. And manifestation is something that is going on constantly. We are all manifesting this world. So we're manifesting the people who are in our face telling us advice we didn't ask for because we've done that to other people. We're not immune to that. We do it in our heads even when we don't say it out loud. Right? And when we can realize that, it gives us some grace for ourselves and for them. Because here's the truth, and this is where it really boils down to, folks. You don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you negotiate. You get what you believe you're worthy of. Right? You get to keep what you really believe you're worthy of. And worthiness is something that is a lifelong process to understand. This is me. That's why I asked them to sing the song, because I have been there of not feeling worthy of it and self-sabotaging. My addiction was years and years of feeling unworthy to be in my own skin, unworthy to have people listen to me. And it has taken this lifetime to be able to stand up here and say, this is me. Your opinion of me is just that, yours, not mine. And that is so freeing and scary that for many of us, and myself included, that even that statement sends me running back into the shadows. To be able to stand up there and say it someday, I need to sometimes go take a nap after I do it. And so it is a couple steps forward and one back. A couple steps forward and one back. Because we are here to make a difference. We are here to change the status quo. If we get to the end of our lives, all of us, and we have not been able to say, I did this. I made this difference. Whether it's in the children we raise, whether they're our biological children or not, whether it's the communities we establish, whether it's the equity and the ideas we propagate, support, and foster in the world, or it's as simple as I stood up and showed the world exactly who I am, and it will never, ever be the same again. That's a life well lived. That's a life worth celebrating. And I want to get to the end of mine and have that said about me. Priscilla gave me a picture right before service started. That's why it's still right there. You can't see this online, but it is a picture of Paul Hasselbeck, which was taken the last time he was here in September at the Tunnel Tops. And so Paul was my mentor and teacher. And he was the one who, when I was going through ministerial school and they were trying to get me to be authentic, he would look at them and say, this is him. This is authentic. Stop trying to get him to be someone else. And he was my champion. He was my rock. And him passing away, leaving abruptly, was such a shock. Such a shock to the system. But what a life well lived. There are hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of Unity Truth students who know Paul's teaching and are forever changed by them. Thousands of us who are out making a difference in the world. He's going to go on the altar. Yeah. And that's what unapologetic manifestation is. It's a way to be what you're about, your business in the world. And it's about, as I spoke of in the opening prayer, collaboration. Not competition. Collaboration is so much different than competition, because competition means that when you succeed, I fail. When you get ahead, someone else is going to be without something. And as Mel Robbins talks about in Let Them. She says, you know, when someone takes the idea and runs with it into success, let them, and then follow the path they blazed. Why do we get so worried when somebody else is successful? It's like, they're showing you how it's done. They're showing you how easy this can be. And we think there's not enough. Oh, they've got success, so I can't have anything. Well, there's only 8 billion people on the planet. And we think there's not enough success and not enough resources for all of us. So when that jealousy comes up, when that competition comes up, ask yourself, is this real? Is this really what I should be putting my energy behind? Trying to beat someone else to the goal line? Someone beat someone else and they feel like they've taken my success, my idea? As the business leader, Barbara Corkin, said to me once, people don't steal shit. If it was your, right? I love that line, right? It's succinct, right? It's like, oh, it's got value, right? So take your value and it's like, go to the next step. And it's not compromise. Compromise is so different because compromise is this idea, and you can see it in the wars right now, in the wars in the world. Well, if you give up this land, then we'll have peace. Oh, we're gonna take this and we'll have this peace treaty, and you'll give up this and you'll give away this and we'll get this back. And that compromise means that both sides are unhappy and both sides lose something. You can see it in divorces. You can see it in wars and countries. But what if we collaborate to create a pie that no one loses? When we come together and say, your brilliant idea and your brilliant idea and your resources and your inspiration come together with mine and theirs, and we create a system that really wins for everyone, creating the win-win solutions for the planet, for the earth. And this is not a new idea, but the old competition and the old compromise idea are so ingrained in who we are and what we're taught from when we're as little as the ones that were just up here, that it is all we see. And yet spiritual teachings have taught us for decades that this isn't the truth, for centuries, millennia. You all know this story, even if you weren't raised Christian. Jesus is preaching on the mount and 5,000 people show up and they have 5 loaves and 5 fishes and I have 5 steps. It's a magic number, folks. 5 steps to create the life you want. But in the Jesus story, there's 5 loaves and 5 fishes to feed the 5,000. If that's not an alliteration, there's the word. I'm tripping over my tongue today. Alliteration, I don't know what it is. 5 loaves and 5 fishes to feed 5,000 people. And what does Jesus do? And Jesus in the story says, pass them out. And all of a sudden, when they gather them at the end, they have 12 baskets left over with more food and more fish, and everyone has been fed. And they call it a miracle. It's a miracle. What it is collaboration. What it is not Jesus's miracle, it's the people's miracle. It's them opening up their hearts, their minds, their baskets, their pocketbooks, and saying, I will contribute to this. I will take part in this. I'll help feed everyone. There's more than enough. It is a group miracle. But in our society, in our world, we keep trying to attribute it to Jesus, that there's someone out there who has this special consciousness that we don't possess and that we need a miracle to come in, when the miracle is just the opening of our heart. The miracle is that we let go of the lack thinking and give. Look at our country right now. Look what we're doing in the name of keeping out some people. Look what we're doing to each other. To each other. Just because somebody is scared, there's not enough in the richest country on the planet. I mean, ridiculous. Absurd. Absurd. We have more than enough here in the United States of America and on the planet Earth to feed everyone. We've proven that. And yet we are somehow caught up in, I need more. I need more space. I can't have these people here. And we push out and we end up killing each other over it. It's the competition, the compromise. What we need to do is collaborate. When we stop asking, what can I get? What can I take? And start asking, what can we create together? Then the abundance will expand for everyone. I know this is true. That's why it's the whole point of the book I've written, is that when we stop thinking only of ourselves and what I can take, we get to see that there is vast resources in every breath. There are vast resources in every idea. There are vast resources in every person on the planet. And that is the miracle, that we are a universe in a body, that we are the multitudes individually wrapped, that we are true abundance, singular in our being. Then we step in and create something different. We step in and create something truly powerful. When we share our journey that begins as a solitary dream, right? We all have these goals, these dreams, these desires that are planted in our heart. But when we open them and share them, when we're brave and say, this is what I think should happen, this is what I see as possible here, and invite other people to come with us, invite people into the journey, we weave a tapestry so rich, so diverse, so strong that nothing on earth can take it away. That's the truth of who we are, what is possible. And that's when we get to stay. I unapologetically claim this good for myself and for everyone on the planet. That's the mission, the movement, the world I want to create.
Thanks for listening to Spiritual Living for the 21st Century. I'm Reverend Ken Daigle. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Unity San Francisco, and learn more about us at unitysf.com. Spiritual Living for the 21st Century is a production of Unity San Francisco.